Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 207 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross. With me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, I think episode 207, that's the same number as the exit velo for some of Ellie De La Cruz's hits tonight, man. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, two of his exit velos are over that. He's had just stupid exit velocities tonight. So far, he's not even done yet. 118.8 mile an hour home run, 117.1 mile an hour home run, and a 116.6 mile an hour double. There has never been any player in baseball history have more than two in one game or three. Sorry, no player in baseball history has had three in one game over that amount, over 116. Stanton and Judge have had two over 116, but three. Ellie's the first one ever in baseball to do it. Pretty wild stuff.
That is wild. I'm trying to see like where that would rank this year in terms of, let's see, what's the max leaders this year. So what were they again? They were 118.
Yep. 117, 1.
And yes, 118.8, 117.1, 116.6. All right. Yep. So that would rank the 118.8. The hardest one hit so far this year in the major leagues was Matt Olson at 118.6. Then we have Berger at 118.2. Contreras 117.5, Wilson Contreras, Vladdy Jr. 116.7, both at 116.7. So yeah, he did have three of the top like eight or so hard hit balls this season in the major leagues, all in one game, which is insane.
Dude, that's just nuts.
Just keep the K rate in check, Ellie. That's all we ask.
Somebody comment on my Twitter. Yeah, but what are the results of them? Home run, double.
I know. Like, it's not like ground out, like single. No. All extra base hits, two left the yard. Yeah. That Louisville team, him, Encarnacion Strand, Matt McClain, even like Will Benson, that's a really fun team. Too bad I don't live anywhere near Louisville. That would be fun to go see all of them in one lineup. It's almost like the lineup from New Hampshire, Toronto's AA affiliate from a handful of years ago, and they had Vladdy, Bo, Lourdes Gurriel, and you know, back when he was still pretty actually decent. That was a phenomenal lineup. This kind of gives me that same feeling. But we will not be talking about hitters today at all, outside of the last minute and a half there. We would do our second kind of pitcher mock draft here. We did pitching prospects last episode, episode 206 on Monday. So go check that out. Got 26 picks in there. We will now be doing the dynasty pitcher mock draft here. So maybe a couple, you know, prospects will factor in as well, but we will do it from the dynasty scope here, because obviously there's been a lot of movement in the dynasty world as well. But before we get into the episode, the usual housekeeping, you can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Check out both of our platforms for more work from both of us. Chris has his Substack. I have my Patreon, all of our rankings, extra, you know, write-ups, a lot of fun stuff on there, Discords, all the good stuff. We both appreciate the support. And before we get into the show, we're going to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you sign up using the promo code Toolshed, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100, and that can be used for any of their fun fantasy games. Sign up today using that code Toolshed at play.underdogfantasy.com/P-the-toolshed. All right, so Chris went first last episode, so I will go first this episode, and I have a new number one now from my preseason rankings, and I'm going to go Shane McClanahan, 26 years old, so right in the mid-20s, so very young, and there are some concerns with him entering the season, but he has pretty much quieted those concerns. I mean, most of the concern, I think, it was around the shoulder, because he did tail off end of last year, but was pitching the most innings of his career. I'm not like overly worried about that. And he's been just absolutely dominant this year. 176 ERA through eight starts, 113 whip, 58 Ks, 46 innings, is a 31.4% strikeout rate. The walk rate is up a tad. Well, not a tad. It's up a decent amount from 5.8 to 10.8%. You know, he had, I think, four walks yesterday in this last start. So that is, you know, maybe a slight concern, but he's still missing bats at an elite clip. Whiff rate is actually better than it was either the previous 2 years, 36.6% whiff rate, up from 34.3 last year. You know, zone contact rate is very low. Chase rate is best of his career as well. So just keep the walk rate in check, which, you know, hasn't really been an issue ever in his career. So I'm not worried about a little bit of a higher walk rate through eight starts earlier on in the season. I'm sure that'll come down as the season progresses. All of his secondaries are still really, really good. Change up 52.6% whiff rate. Curveball 40.4, slider 32.3. You know, all of those have an XBA under 225. Fastball has been performing very well as well. Velo's even up a tad from last year, about half a mile an hour. Everything you want, you know. He's only 26, bat missing ability, low ratios, great Tampa Bay team. You know, and I don't like to factor in wins into my, you know, analysis, but, you know, he's going to get a lot of wins pitching on Tampa Bay. So he is my, you know, pretty solid number one dynasty pitcher right now.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that with what we've seen from Burns this year, I think it makes it pretty easy to go with Shane McClanahan one. I do have a question. Are we drafting Ohtani as just a pitcher?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, I think we should have him as just a pitcher for this.
So it's like Yahoo settings, he's pitcher only. All right, good.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we lay that out before. I meant to say that before we started, but all good. Here we are. So number two, I am going with Spencer Strider, which Eric's going to build an epic rotation with his next guy, I'm sure, starting now. But I do think this is a pretty good tier at this point at the top. I think Shane's one. Then after that, you can go a couple different directions. But I am going Strider. He looks like his dominant self, just like last year. I think people were concerned that it was a fluke last year. Not a fluke, but that he would regress. I mean, he's got 67 Ks and 40 innings right now, 2.70 ERA. Everything looks extremely good across the board. His slider is a 52% whiff rate against it. His four seam has a 30.4% whiff rate on it, which is elite, like as elite as it gets. The movement profile on those pitches are extremely good. The crazy thing is his changeups are really good too. He doesn't throw his changeup often. He's thrown it just 5% of the time this year, 34 times. It has a 66.7% whiff rate against it. It is a very good pitch if you've ever seen Spencer Strider's changeup. he just doesn't need to use it. But when he does, it's there and it's an elite pitch. So if you had any concerns about Strider regressing this year, like he hasn't, like he's that dude again this year. The numbers are absolutely insane. The strikeout rate was good enough last year at 38.3%. We're up to 42.4% this year. Just incredible what he's doing. And I just expect him to keep being this guy for a long time. He's 24 years old. I think Spencer Strider is elite, so I think he's worthy of this number two pick here.
Yeah, no, that's the right pick. I would have taken Strider at two as well. I think there's a top tier of three. I think it's McClanahan. I think it's Strider. And then I think it's Corbin Burns. And a slight drop off to the next. Not a huge drop, but a slight drop off. So I will go Corbin Burns here. And yeah, it's been a weird kind of first 5 weeks or so, 5-6 weeks for Corbin Burns. You know, hasn't been bad, but has not been Corbin Burns either. 3.86 ERA through seven starts. But the K rate, that's, you know, even more surprising. It's at 19.8% after three straight years above 30%, and almost had a fourth year above 30% back in 2019 when he was at 29.8%. Even that was his bad year when he had an 8.82 ERA before he broke out. You know, last 3 years, ERA under three. You know, you got to wonder how much of it played in. You know, obviously he had that the arbitration issue with Milwaukee before the year, and that kind of soured and it went public. And so you got to wonder, it's like, how much does he want to be there right now? You know, what's his mindset? Is he just kind of going through the motions right now? Doesn't want to be there with Milwaukee. I got to feel like that factors in. So I'm not like overly worried about Corbin Burns long term if this, you know, not you know, godly start from him, so to speak, has opened up any sort of buy low opportunity. Even if it's 98 cents on the dollar, I would definitely go out there and try to get him, because I think he's still only 28 years old. You know, he's proven, like, the one thing that kept him behind Gerrit Cole for a little bit in some people's eyes was, you know, he didn't have the track record. You know, he didn't have the innings, and you know, he's improving that. He, you know, last year he had 202 innings, was only one of a handful of arms to go over 200 innings last year. I think he's top 10 in innings pitched since the beginning of 2020. So, you know, everything you want from your stud ace arm, he has. And again, I'm not overly worried about that. I think this just, he's still a little pissed off, you know, at Milwaukee right now. So I think he'll be better moving forward. And even though, you know, this hasn't been great, and I think great times are coming with him. I think the K rate will tick back up, because last year he had the three pitches above 45% whiff rate. It was the curveball, changeup, and slider. Actually, those were all above 45% whiff rate. And this year they're at 36 for the curve, 40 for the change, 30 for the slider. Slider's been getting hit around a bit, 313 batting average against, 500 slug. But, you know, cutter, curveball, changeup, all of a batting average against under 200. So, like, there's still a lot of good things there, getting the ground ball rate, all of that. So I think Burns, he'll get it going here, and K-Roll will tick back up. So he's still very solidly in tier one for me.
Yeah, I think it is worth the discussion, like, what's going wrong with him.
Right.
And there was a good article on Fangraphs yesterday by Ben Clemens, where he really broke it down, basically summed up. He says, what's going wrong? A little bit of everything, to be honest. He's walking more. Strikeouts have gone missing. The velocity's down. Swinging strike and chase rates are down. Giving up more contact. It's kind of interesting to just look at this profile and be like, well, what happened? And I think he suggested it starts with his cutter. You look and the metrics are pretty similar, actually. It's slightly down in velo, but the results are pretty similar on the cutter. The movement and the shape are actually pretty similar on it too. It's just the velo's a tick down, actually more than a tick down. It was 95.1 last year. It's 93.8 this year. So pretty substantial. He did point out there is something with his, like, delivery here that's just different. And it's interesting to see, like, he's look like his arm action, like how far he's pulling back. It's completely different this year. And I almost wonder if, like, he's just tinkering a little bit too much. Probably. And it's just cost him. Like, I feel like this could be like a tinkerer. Like, and we see a lot of pitchers tinker with stuff, like tinker with a grip or tinker with, you know, something small to try to really, like, up, even get even better. I mean, Burns didn't need to get better, but of course, like, he wanted to. And so the location of his curveball has not been good. Like, he's left over the heart of the plate a lot more this year. And so it's getting hit. I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that have gone wrong. But at the end of the day, I think he bounces back. Like, he may not pitch to the elite of the elite levels that we saw the last 3 years, but I do think that Burns will still be a top 10 arm rest of the season. And I'm pretty I think that's pretty comfortably, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So enough with Corbin Burns. We'll keep things rolling here. This is actually a really interesting range because it's like all the guys I have ranked here, like, all right, like they're not so hot. They're not so hot. They're not so hot. Like, oh, and it's like, obviously when you think about dynasty, you want a younger arm. So you're like, should I go with Gerrit Cole? But I think you have to go with Gerrit Cole here.
Yeah.
In the fourth spot. I just look at the list below and I'm like, injury, sucking injuries. Like, all right, Gerrit Cole's the answer here at four. I think I couldn't fault you if you took him in that top tier. If you thought he was the top arm, like, I can make an argument for it. If you're in a win now mode, he's elite. And we know that he's been elite this year. He has a 209 ERA in 51 innings. He's one of the safest arms there is out there. Like, he may never put up like super elite numbers, but he's a pretty much a lock to give you a lot of innings and give you consistently good innings. I mean, you just look at his innings pitched over the last several years. Last season was 200.2 in 2021, and that was coming off the shortened season. He was at 181.1 innings. In the COVID year, 73 innings over 12 starts. Previous year, 212, 200, 203. You get the gist. Like, he's just been as safe as they get and as durable as they get. And while he may not post elite strikeout rates, there are plenty of strikeouts. You know, last year, 257. 2021, 243. This year is 58 over 51 and two-thirds innings. But again, like, this is a safe profile. And you can, like, his strikeout rate's under 30, but who cares? Like, 28.5% is fine. He'll probably be at 30 by the end of the year. I just think with what Gerrit Cole brings to the table, there's not a safer arm. I don't think you can tell me anyone's safer at this point. And I think with the track record of pitchers we've seen recently, 32-year-old Gerrit Cole isn't that old by dynasty standards. If you're playing for 5 years out at this point in a dynasty, then, I mean, I think it's crazy, but it's not crazy to say that Gerrit Cole should be elite for at least the next 3 years. And in a dynasty window, that's pretty substantial.
Absolutely. And what's to say that he can't be another one of these guys? Like, and I don't know, he hasn't had a good of a year this year, but like Scherzer, who's dominated into his late 30s, Verlander, like I feel like Cole can be one of those guys that just dominates as he gets closer to 40. And he's done it for so long. So why doubt him now? So yeah, he would have been my pick at four as well. After him, I have three that are literally back to back to back in my overall ranking. So I could go any which way, but this one might be a little bit surprising. I'm going to go Zach Gallen here at number five. You know, Gallen just continues to get better. And outside of 2021, this is now the fourth year of his five-year career with an ERA under three. It was 2.81 in 2019, then 2.75, then he had the 4.3 in 2021, then 2.54 last year, 2.36 this year. And you could make a strong argument that he's pitching the best he's ever pitched in his entire career right now. He has the best K-minus walk rate of his career. He has the best strikeout rate and walk rate individually. 33.9% K rate, which is in the top 6% of the league right now. 3.2% walk rate, 236 ERA, 274 xERA, you know, WOBA 227, top 7% of baseball as well. He's missing more bats than he ever has. You know, chase rate and whiff rate are both above 30%. Whiff rate is, you know, about 30% for the first time in his career. Second time in his career. First time since 2020. Career high mark there. You know, all four of his pitches, you know, four-seamer, curveball, changeup, cutter, batting average against of 226 or below. Curveball, it's up to a 45.2% whiff rate. Changeup, 36.7% whiff rate. And, you know, people have heard me say this 10,000 times at this point. He uses all four of his pitches to both-handed batters. I love that about him.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And, yeah, what else do you want from the guy? He's 27 years old. He has the, you know, the performance. The strikeouts are there. He's also been pretty good at K-rate. Now he's jumping up into elite K-rate territory. And I, you know, always kind of thought that this jump could be taken with the K rate, given the stuff he's shown, especially that curveball always has been, you know, a really good bat missing pitch. And we're seeing that even more this year. So, yeah, stop doubting Zach Allen. Like, the dude is one of the best pitchers in baseball. And I think he's finally getting his due after that long scoreless inning streak last year. And then again, earlier on this year, what do you have earlier this year? It was like 27, 28 innings after his longer, you know, 40 plus streak last year. Dude's just an ace, and I think he deserves to be in this top five dynasty pitcher conversation right now.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And I almost took my debate was taking Gallen or Cole. So, you know, I have no qualms with that at all. And I think now is really the question of where do you go?
Yeah.
There are plenty of arms, but you mentioned, I think the top of the line guys are gone at this point. And so, like, you could go Aaron Nola, who's been, man, this year. You could go with Sandy Alcantara here, who's been kind of meh. It makes it a tough decision. You know what? I'm going to go off the wall here. I'm going to go with Luis Castillo, which it may be a good bit high. But I look at the results that Luis Castillo has gotten this year, and I think that this is the Castillo he can be moving forward. I mean, this is someone we've always thought could be a very high-end arm. He hasn't produced those results so far until really now. He's had some seasons where it's like, okay, like he's shown like he could be this guy, and he wasn't. I think that now he's settled in Seattle. He's got a long-term contract with them through 2027. And I think this just makes him pretty comfortable here with saying, like, all right, I can be this guy. And last year we saw him, after he moved out of Cincy, be pretty elite with the Mariners, and it's just carried over this year. He's walking less batters than ever. His K rate's fine. I mean, he's not an elite K rate guy, but neither is Sandy. And some of these other guys, it's like, you know, they don't have it either. He's running a 2.38 ERA and a 0.91 whip. That's pretty impressive, in my opinion. I want to go back and look after the trade deadline last year at how good he's been. So since the trade to Seattle, he's thrown 107 innings in 18 starts, and he has a 2.86 ERA, which is backed by a 2.77 FIP and a 3.15 XFIP. Got out of that terrible ballpark in Cincinnati. Got some decent defense behind him. He's actually striking out pretty significant amount of batters. His K per nine's over 10. I don't like using that a lot, but it's a 28% K rate as I click over to the next tab with a 6.1% walk rate. Batting average against of 212. And that's with a 283 BABIP, so it's not a ton of BABIP luck either. And a 103 whip. I think Castillo arguably has one of the best changeups in baseball. And we've seen the rest of the arsenal kind of play around it too. I mean, you look at the fastball, it's performed really well. The Mariners have actually had him throwing the fastball more and the changeup less, which I find interesting. And even with his velocity down from last year, it's working. I mean, his movement profile is better than ever. He's got 35.4% whiff rate on his fastball, which is pretty insane. He's got more movement than he's ever had on the four-seamer. Like, some of these things don't make sense when you're looking at it, but he's doing it, and it's excelling. He's mixing in a sinker as well. He's throwing the sinker about the same as he did last year, and he's using the slider and changeup less, but he still has all three of his four-seam, slider, and changeup over 30% whiff rate. Changeup's at 34.5%. That's pretty encouraging, considering last year's changeup had just a 26% whiff rate. I really like what he's done, and I think that he is going to be successful for the foreseeable future. And I don't think this is a small sample decision here, because I really do think he's been a completely different arm since he's been to Seattle. And that leads me to believe that he can be an arm you go out and acquire in Dynasty and probably get him below market value, because I would assume most people probably don't realize and think it's just a 1 month sample of a solid performance, but really it's gone back to since he's moved to Seattle.
Yeah, no, he has been absolutely dominant and definitely moving up my rankings. Well, he's definitely in this cluster here. It's a pretty sizable cluster for me in my rankings, but he's definitely right in the middle of that. So cannot fault you for going Castillo there. I'm going to go Ohtani here at seven. I think so much gets talked about, as it should, about how good he is, like overall, like putting the hitting and the pitching together. And it kind of like overshadows a little bit of how good he is individually as a hitter and a pitcher. Look at what he's done the last few years as a pitcher. In 2021, 3.18 ERA. 2022, 2.33 ERA, excuse me. This year, 2.54 ERA with a 38.6% strikeout rate. Yeah, the walk rate has, you know, ticked up a bit, but we've seen that kind of across baseball a little bit. Well, and I think pitchers are still kind of getting used to the pitch clock here. So I think walk rates as a whole probably tick down as the season progresses. So I'm not worried, especially when he's missing as many bats as he is. You know, he goes with as many as seven pitches, even as he's only thrown one slider this year, but sweeper and four seamer make up right around 75% of his pitches this year. And they have a 113 and 0.080 betting average against. Both have a whiff rate right around 37%. Splitter, 56.3% whiff rate. He's only thrown it 37 times, 6% usage rate. But Ohtani just individually as a pitcher is very, just really, really good. Like, look at some of the pitchers similar to him, you know, with velocity and movement, you know, Zach Wheeler. You know, look at some of the batted ball profile similarities, you know, 2021 Gallen, 2022 Burns. Like, everywhere you look in the profile, outside of the you know, elevated walk rate right now, is very good. 36.4% whiff rate. Zone contact allowed is only 71.6%. He is just so good as a pitcher individually. And again, that gets overshadowed by his overall dominance as a two-way player. I think he's also in the discussions as one of the top five or so best pitchers in baseball, and definitely top 10. So if I was, you know, playing in Dynasty League where he was two separate players, and I'd have no problem taking him as a top 10 arm and as my ace. You know, maybe the innings aren't going to be quite as high as some of these other guys. And, you know, last year he went 166 innings. This year he's on pace for, he's about 5.5 innings per start right now. So he's probably on a similar pace, or in that 165, 170 range, but that's not like terribly low in today's standards. Or like 160 is the new 180. So I have no issues with him being a little bit lower in innings as long as he's giving me elite ratios as he is. 254 ERA, 0.87 whip, a super high K rate. So yeah, Ohtani is definitely in this tier for me.
Yeah, I think that him as a pitcher alone is more than fair to be right there. This is an interesting place. There's two really good arms that I valued much higher going into the season, and I'm not sure I'm ready to change those opinions yet. I'm going to take Sandy Alcantara here, who hasn't been great. I mean, he has a 4.53 ERA in seven starts. He does have 40 strikeouts in 43 innings, which is encouraging. I'd say that is the most encouraging thing in his profile so far. Yeah, you look at the peripherals and they don't really suggest that, you know, better things are ahead, which maybe that's a concern. Maybe it's just the fact that he just hasn't pitched well to date, but that's okay. I do think that Sandy is going to be fine. I mean, we've looked at and seen Sandy be a super reliable arm for most of his career, especially since 2020. 2020, he turned a corner. He had a 3.0 ERA, 3.19 over 205 innings in 2021, and then a 2.28 ERA last year over 228 innings. He led the league in innings pitched by a good portion last year. That's a 2.74 ERA over three seasons. So I have no reason to not believe that he doesn't bounce back. His fastball velo is actually up this year. I'm trying to figure out what exactly is going wrong. Like, I'm looking at the profile. He looks like he's locating the four-seam extremely well up. It's almost as if the changeup's not getting down enough. The changeup does have a 310 batting average against this year. Last year, it was a 145 batting average against, which is a huge gap there. You know, the XBAs in them are pretty subsizable too. I mean, four-seam has a 238 XBA to 265 batting average against, and then the changeup has a 310 batting average against to a 268 XBA. So I really do believe there's a chance that he bounces back and is fine. The whiff rate on his pitches are up pretty significantly. The four seam's up to 26.5%. The changeup is up to 37.1%. That's up about 3 percentage points from last year. And his slider is up as well. Last year, it's up 10 percentage points from last year, which is substantial. And he throws all four of the pitches at least 20% of the time. I would solely expect Alcantara to bounce back. And I think he's a good buy low right now in Dynasty.
100% agree. And you just made my decision easier. I think the other name you were going with is this name. Maybe not. But I was kind of, these two were, I think, like third and fourth or fourth and fifth or something in my preseason rankings. So I'm going with Brendan Woodruff here. I still have these two back to back now, a little bit lower, obviously. But, you know, Woody, you know, he had the Raynaud's syndrome, I believe it was called, with the numbness and tingling in the fingertips last year. And now he's been out for about, I think, close to a month now with the shoulder strain or the subscapular, whatever, shoulder strain for us normal people that don't know medicine. But sounds like he's, you know, they got some, you know, positive news and that he could be back a little bit earlier than they anticipated originally. And yeah, two starts this year, he was really good, you know, only a 0.79 ERA in 11 innings. But last year, he was his usual self. Like, he's been one of the, you know, best pitchers in baseball over the last 3 years. You know, ERA 305, 256, 305, a K rate straight around 31% last year, 30.6%. Walk rate's kind of been in that 6-7% range, you know, for the last handful of years, never above 8. So, like, you know, I'm not saying he's completely safe, but as long as the health meaning, like, in terms of performance, I think there's, you know, two elements of being safe, obviously durability and performance. With performance, I think he's very, very safe there. Like, when he's healthy, I'm not worried about him having like a year, you know, with a 4-something ERA. I'm not worried about having one of those like really down years from Woodruff, because, you know, his worst year outside of his debut in 2017, like, he had first 2 years right around mid 3 ERA. But since then, he's just been as rock solid as they come. You know, you got the 5 pitch mix here, you know, all of which, you know, missed bats pretty good. The changeup 54%, slider 45, those two leading away. Even gets plenty of whiffs on the four seam as well, 28.5 last year, even 31.4 this year in his two starts. Again, small sample size, but, you know, gets, you know, a solid amount of ground balls as well, 44%. You know, last year did dip with the ground ball rate below 40, but, you know, outside of that, it's been like mid to upper 40s, even over 50 some years. So I'm not really too worried. I mean, I guess I am a little bit worried about the, you know, I had the issue last year with the Raynaud's, and then I think I'm saying that right. Am I saying that right, Chris? Is it Raynaud's? Raynaud's?
I have no clue. I think so.
something like that. Anyway, like, the, you know, issue with that last year and the shoulder strain this year. So there is a bit of concern. I'm not saying there's not, but, you know, assuming that he can put this behind them, get back on the mound here over the next few weeks, and I'm expecting more elite production. And when he's on the mound, I think he's like in that top 5 pitcher discussion, but the issues lately have dropped him down a little bit in terms of my rankings. He's now, in my rankings, he is now my, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, SP7 in my Dynasty rankings. So as I have him still ahead of Sandy and Castillo, even though they're right behind him. So I got a big cluster here, but Woody, number 9 for me.
All right, so 10th, I will take Aaron Nola.
Damn, that's what I got to go with.
Yeah, he's a major disappointment so far this year. Like, the strikeouts have disappeared. He has a 4.64 ERA. You know, none of the indicators are, like, great. He's actually pitching right now as we are speaking. He's much better. I mean, he 6 innings, 2 earned runs, so not bad. 6 Ks, 2 walks. is much better than what we've seen all year. So I'll take that out of him for sure. But when you look at Nola, you have to wonder, like, okay, what's going on? He's not walking batters. He's always had really good command, but the strikeouts have just disappeared. The home run rate's manageable too. It's, I mean, one per nine, like, that's fine. He's right in line with his career norms, but the K rate dropped from 29 to 19. The swinging strike rate has dropped from 12.6 to 9.8. The first pitch strike is the biggest thing. That's way down. He's just not getting strikes early on in counts, which I think is setting him back a bit and setting him up to allow a little more contact. His contact rate and his zone contact rate are up a bit, and he's getting a little bit less chase, but his CSW is still elite. It's right around 30%, which is, you know, elite numbers. Like, anything above 30 is considered really, really good. I'm going to pull up what it is tonight. He was facing the Blue Jays, which is a tough lineup. So, yeah, you'll take the results there, a two-run run through six-inning type game. His velo was actually up tonight, which is awesome. The velo, that has been an issue. The velo is down, but it's back to normal tonight. The fastball set 93, which is awesome. The changeup was back up. All of his pitches were up. He had a 33% CSW, which is great. So hopefully we start getting regular Aaron Nola back, because this guy's been pretty elite most of his career. He's had a couple blips along the way. 2021 was not a great year, but for the rest of his career, I mean, he's been about as solid as they get, and he's, like Cole, just pretty safe, locked to give you innings. So I think that Aaron Nola at 10 is a pretty good buy, and he's going to bounce back some.
I cannot agree with that more. Yeah, I'm definitely as in on Nola. You know, I don't know what it is with this, like, odd numbered, even numbered year thing with him that is a little weird, but yeah, I'm definitely buying anywhere I can if the prices come down even a smidge. So he's still only, you know, he'll be 30 pretty soon, so not too old. Production has been there. Yeah, I'm not really that worried. And now this is my top 10. Now, order, you know, a little bit different from my personal rankings, but this was my top 10 as a whole. And then it's just like, I don't know where I want to go. Like, the next guy in my rankings, I mean, I guess I'll have to go with him because that's how my rankings. I don't feel great about it, though. Next guy for me is Dylan Cease. I mean, I don't know how I want to feel about Dylan Cease. Like, he goes through stretches where he's, you know, a top three arm, and then he goes through stretches where he's not even the top 25 arm. It's just, if I had, and I don't think I have any shares at all. Redraft fantasy, nothing, because he's just so frustrating to roster. Because again, from the inconsistencies, he'll carry your team for a month, and then you'll be like, where did that guy go the following month when he's ERA of like five that month? And this year we've seen a bit of the same thing with him. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. Overall, ERA's up to 5.58 this year in eight starts, 151 whip. And then I don't know how good I feel about this pick anymore, Matt. Maybe I should drop him even lower in my rankings, you know. But, you know, last year at a 2.20 ERA, year before that was 3.91. So maybe that 2.20 ERA, well, not maybe, it probably is going to be the anomaly in his career. Maybe he's more of a, you know, mid to upper three ERA guy, but he's not this bad. Like, he's not five plus ERA bad. With him, it's just the whiff rates have not been there. They're down basically across the board. Slider from 43.3 to 38.8. You know, four seamers 23.2 to 17. Curveball 28.3 down to 21.2. Changeup, that's about the same. But so the whiff rates aren't there. But I do think he bounces back. But again, he's going to be a guy that's really, you know, just frustrated into roster. His own contact rate has jumped about 7 points this year. Whiff rates down, chase rates down, and all the contact rates are up, as I mentioned. So I would never take him, but I think his value isn't in this range. But he's not a guy I'd probably ever have on my team personally. I just can't deal with it. He's still only 27. You know, obviously the upside is there. We've seen the upside where he's, you know, a top five pitcher at times. So, but he's never one that I'll probably ever have him on my dynasty team.
Yeah, he's, I don't know what to do with him. I'm sitting on him in some dynasty leagues in which I'd sold.
Where do you have him
in Highlander? Your, oh, sorry, rankings.
Yeah.
Let's see. If I see, I have Ohtani dual, but he'd be ahead of him. So 1, 2, 3. 22.
Yeah, you dropped him lower. It's I probably should have dropped him lower, but I don't know. He's so hard for me. He's always been hard for me to rank.
I mean, a lot of these guys in this range is like, Carlos Rodon, Kevin Gausman, Joe Musgrove, Zach Wheeler. Like, I like those guys more. I don't know. So,
yeah, it's hard. Like I said, I'll never have Dylan Cease. I'll let somebody else deal with the ups and downs of him. But I still think he's valued as, you know, a fantasy ace or close to it at least.
Yeah, and it's really tough right now sitting on him in a 20-team dynasty, and you can't really do much of anything with him. It's like nobody right. wants him. Like, this is real great.
Too bad our buddy Michael Simeon's not in that league. I know he's always been a big Cease guy.
That would have been nice to pull him off. Well, the next two guys in my rankings are hurt, and so I'm not touching them. So I'm going to go with Julio Urias, who has had a up and down season, but I do think he's getting back on track, and I think he is going to be fine. He's young still. Like, we have to remember, he broke in the league at 19 years old, and he's 26 right now. Yeah, you look at the numbers right now, it's not great. He's got a 3.77 ERA. There were some bumps and bruises. Like, people are like, oh, he's toast, blah, 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 blah. But he's gotten back on track his last few starts. If the game log will ever load on Fangraphs, I can tell you. I remember his last start was pretty good. I can't quote the exact numbers off my head. I'm not that good, unfortunately. His Fangraphs is being very slow. I'm just going to talk about Urias. I mean, I just think that in general, his arsenal's fine. Like, he's never going to be an elite guy. He's never going to provide elite strikeouts. To me, this is kind of like a younger Max Fried type profile. So, again, like, I think this is something that'll certainly play. Yeah, his last couple starts, two starts ago is the one I was thinking of. Against Philly, he threw 7 innings, 1 earned 10 Ks. That's certainly encouraging because the Phillies lineup is pretty good. His last start was 2 days ago against the Padres, and he allowed 2 earned over 5 2/3 with only 3 Ks, but 1 walk in each of those last two. I think he's back on the right track, and I'm not particularly worried about Julio Urias. So I think that he's going to be good for a long time, and he's never going to be elite, but he certainly belongs up here in this range, in this tier of arms.
Yeah, no, he definitely does. For sure. I mean, next one of my rankings is Max Fried, but getting shut down. And they said there's nothing, you know, they're not worried. It's nothing huge wrong with it, with his arm, but they're shutting him down. So they're obviously at least somewhat concerned about his arm. So I don't know. Maybe this turns into something bigger. I mean, it would be fitting for how this year has gone. So I will not take Fried. Then I have two more. And then Urias is right in this range as well. I mean, this is a good point where, in a dynasty startup draft, I'm probably not shopping in this range.
Yeah.
I either grabbed one of the guys we already talked about, you know, anywhere down to probably Aaron Nola, you know, that top 10 that I mentioned, like, that kind of fit with my top 10. If I didn't get one of those 10, I'm probably waiting till the next tier, guys. This is a range where, you know, there's a lot of injuries in this range. There's a lot of age. There's a lot of, like, you know, 32, 33, 34-year-old arms in this range. So it's not a range I'd probably want to shop in, but I guess, and I don't even feel good with it. I guess I'll go with Christian Javier. I don't know. He's an interesting one where I hate how many, you know, how low the ground ball rate is with Javier. 31.3%, which is actually up from last year, but gives up a lot of fly balls, a lot of line drives. You know, the xERA 4.56 this year. Surface ERA is 3.54, up exactly one run from last year. You know, K rate's down from last year, but I think we kind of thought that was going to be the case. Like, he was running some, you know, he's one of the, you know, had a lower BABIP last year. You know, XBA and everything was super, super low last year. Those are all bound for regression, and they have. But if he's still like a low to mid 3 ERA guy with a, you know, 26 to 28% K rate, right now he's at 26.1. The good thing is he has dropped the walk rate down to 5.5% in a year where a lot of walk rates have ticked up. His has ticked down. So that's very encouraging. And he's still missing bats at a pretty solid clip. Slider, 33% whiff rate. Curveball, 38.1. Changeup, which he barely ever throws. But that, when he does throw it, he has a 40% whiff rate. So, and both the slider and curveball have a batting average against under 200. So he's getting hit hard right now. Barrel rate, 11.6%. hard hit rate up to 42%, which is about 8.5% up from last year. But again, if this is a guy he is, where he's like 3.3 to 3.6 ERA with a 26.7% K rate, I'll take that. He's always getting a ton of wins with Houston. It's always the case with these Houston arms. And he's 26 years old, so you get the age on his side as well. So I feel, you know, again, I would probably want him as my ace. If I can get him, if I already have one of those guys in the top 10 and I can get Javier at a good price as my two, I'll be happy with that. But again, I'm not usually shopping in this range. I'd probably wait another 30, 40 spots overall before I start taking a couple pitchers in dynasty drafts. So, but Javier here, it feels okay to me.
Yeah, I do like Javier. He says questionable range at this point of like, who do you want? Like, who can you go with? So I'm more than fine with Javier there. I am a bit torn on my next pick. Like I said, my next three in the rankings are DeGrom, Fried, and Bieber, but I'm not sure I love any of those right now, to be honest. And so
same.
might be a sign to change those rankings up a bit. And so you may see that. I don't think I can touch either DeGrom or Fried because of injury right now. So I think I'm going with George Kirby is love my it. Pick. I think this is a valid spot for him. 14th overall feels pretty good to me. So I don't know if Kirby ever ascends to like ace levels, but he's a comfortable SP2 who's just going to consistently get the job done. He had a slow start to the year and everybody was kind of like, he sucks. Like he's not any good. He allowed four earned in the first start over four innings. And since then he's been, you know, more than fine. The strikeouts have fluctuated from start to start, but he's now below a one whip and he has a 3.11 ERA in six starts and 37 2/3 innings over those six starts, which is pretty encouraging. The arsenal is fine. I mean, like I said, he's not generating a ton of whiffs, but it's okay. Like it's livable. So he misses bats enough. He induces plenty of weak contact, which I just think this profile can work. Kirby's 25 years old. He's a command specialist. He pinpoints and locates it and throws it where he wants to. And I just think that you'll take a solid, high-end, high-floor type guy like Kirby, who's this age at this point in the draft.
Yeah, I wonder where the K rate ultimately ends up. And you watch him, like the stuff is there. It just hasn't translated into the swing and strike rate and the whiff rates that you'd think and the strikeout rates. But yeah, I think he's a very safe SP2, and he's already shown that. It's funny how safe he is at such a young age. You know, not usually the case, but hopefully that K rate can tick up. But yeah, I like Kirby a decent amount here. He's definitely in this cluster for me. I'm going to go safe as well. A guy I was worried that you were going to take when you started talking about Kirby before you mentioned his name. I'm going to go with Framber Valdez here. And I think I was even guilty of underranking and undervaluing him in the past, but the dude is just rock solid right now in a range where there's not a lot of rock solid options. You know, 260 ERA right now, 282 last year. Yeah, the xERA is 4.2, but he has just been getting better and better. He's dropped the ERA now in four straight years, 586, 357, 314, 282, 260, you know, and he's never going to be a huge K rate guy. He's, you know, a tick above. See, league average is right around 22%. Right now he's at 24.9, last year 23.5. He probably lives in like that 25% range, but he's been missing bats at a solid clip. He's got three pitches above a 30% whiff rate, curveball 36.3, which is actually down from last year, but overall it's still been a very good pitch. Changeup 33.3 and cutters at 38.7. The one weird thing, he's throwing his curveball a lot less versus lefties this year. He's basically just sinker cutter versus lefties so far. Last year against lefties, he threw his curveball about 11% of the time. This year, it's about 3% of the time. I'm not sure what's going on. He's only thrown it four times versus lefties overall this year. I'm not sure if that's by design or what, but, you know, ground ball rate, you can just, you know, with a Sharpie, put him in for a 60%+ ground ball rate. Even the last 3 years, it's been above 65%. It's at 66.1 this year. And he's, hell, he's 28, 29. So, you know, maybe a tick older than some of the names we talked about recently, but still under 30. Very, very safe arm, I feel. And I think he just screams like SP2. Like, if you look at SP2 in a dictionary, boom, there's Framber Valdez looking at you. So I feel, you know, and again, in a range where there's not a lot of safety, I would probably, if I were to go in this range, I'd probably go after Framber Valdez.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to go. So I like that pick a lot. I am going with probably one of my bigger risers this year in Pablo Lopez, who has been extremely good, even though the ERA has ballooned a little bit. It's hard to deny what he's done. The peripherals still look really, really good on him. He was one of the hottest pitchers to start the season because of his new pitches. And then he had a couple rough games towards the end of the month of April, surprisingly against Washington and Kansas City, oddly enough. But he bounced right back and was dominant against the Twins in his last start. I think Pablo Lopez has turned a corner. Everything looks really good in his profile. That sweeper that he added is an elite pitch, has a 40% whiff rate against it. The movement profile is really, really good. The movement's well above league average for that pitch specifically. The four-seam has looked really good this year. The velo's up over to almost 2 miles an hour, so that's an encouraging sign there too. And he features a really good changeup. So with this arsenal, like, you probably look at the surface numbers and you're like, what the heck? Like, he's just doing exactly what he's always done. But he's struck out 54 over 43 innings. That's good for a 30.7% strikeout rate. I just think that with the addition of that pitch, the sweeper, and the improvements with the velo, that he actually is a really, really good starter. And I'm not going to be surprised when he finishes as a top 20 arm at the end of the season.
Yeah, no, he's already up in this range for me as well. And yet, a lot of Minnesota guys are really ticking up this year. You know, Joe Ryan, you know, Sonny Gray, obviously Pablo Lopez as well. So definitely something going on there in Minnesota, positive for sure. I almost went with one guy, but I'm not ready to go with him yet. I guess I'll go, you know, to that little bit older group, go with a 32-year-old. I'll go with Kevin Gausman. I mean, he got blown up recently. What was that? Oh, that was his last start. Oh, yeah, I thought he pitched again. Or is he going today? Is Gausman going today, Chris, or is he going tomorrow?
I don't know. I think he may be going right now.
Let's see. How did he do tonight? Hopefully he didn't get blown up again tonight. I mean, if he did, you know, right now it's 5-3 Philly in the seventh. So Manoah went tonight. That's right.
Oh, Manoah was bad, yeah.
Yeah, he went. Manoah only had 3 swing and misses. Manoah's a guy that, you know, preseason probably would have been somewhere in this range, but he has definitely fallen off and probably highly doubt we talk about him in this episode. I think Gausman goes tomorrow. That must be it. But yeah, so outside of that blow up, you know, he's had 2 blow ups this year. He's been really good. Wow, this game luck is so weird. All right. So he's made 7 starts this year. He's given overall 7 starts. He's allowed 18 earned runs. 15 of those 18 have been in 2 starts, Chris. It's ridiculous. 8 versus Boston on the 4th of May, and then 7 against Houston on April 17th. Outside of that, 0-0-3-0-0 for earned runs. So, but I'm not really factoring in those blowups too much. Like, Gausman has just been a really good arm, continues to get better and better, it feels, every year watching him. You know, 2.81 ERA 2021, 3.35 last year. He's had an xERA, you know, 3.55 or lower each of the last 3 years. This year it's at 3.72, but again, the blowups really have ballooned his ERA up to 3.86 this year. Does get hit a little bit harder than most, but the K rate has been really, really good. One of the best strikeout arms in the major leagues over the last 4 years, or his lowest K rate over the last 4 years, which was last year, still at 28.3%. Now, the splitter is just, I could watch Kevin Gausman throw splitters all day. I've always loved a good split-fingered fastball. This year, he's got a 49.7% whiff rate, which is up about 5.5% from last year. It was 44.1 last year, 46.3, 49. Like, he's always been 45 to 50% with that over the last handful of years. And doesn't seem like he's slowing down. He's 32, but I feel like this is a guy that, you know, Chris, you mentioned like that 3-year window. I think he's still going to be very good. I think he's still going to be like a top 25 arm for the next, you know, 3-4 years as he gets into his mid-30s. I don't see any reason to think he's going to, you know, fall off a cliff. I think people have been waiting for that, and it just hasn't happened. So I'll take him here. What are we even at for pick number? Is this 17, I think? Yeah. So I think this is a good range for Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, I think so too. My next pick is going to be, golly, Like, I'm trying to figure out when to jump in on some of these arms. It's like, okay, like some of these guys are falling, but like, yeah, where do I jump in on them?
Yeah, I think there's two. Like, when do we bite the bullet and take Fried and DeGrom?
Yeah. But you know what? I'm going to take Shane Bieber, and I know that's probably not popular. And everybody's like, oh, Shane Bieber sucks now. But despite everything going on, he still has a sub-3 ERA. He gets the job done over and over and over again. And his worst season since after his rookie year, so from 2019 on, his worst season, he had a 3.28 ERA, and that was over 214 innings. He's been a sub-3 ERA guy since 2019 on. Yeah, where the heck do the strikeouts go? That's a good question. They're not there, but the results are there, and I'll bank on him not just being a guy that just completely lost everything. Right now, it looks pretty ugly. 30 strikeouts in 45 innings is not good by any means, but the fact that he's still getting the results and performing without the strikeouts tells me a lot about the type of pitcher that Shane Bieber is. Everybody's like, oh, his Savant page looks terrible. His Savant pages look terrible for his entire career. So he just does. He just performs. And you can't argue against it at this point. And yeah, I mean, obviously he's not a top tier arm. He's not an ace by any means. But I do believe that the strikeouts bounce back. He's not a 16.5% strikeout guy. He's going to be okay. He's going to bounce back. And I do believe the whiffs will come back on the fastball. I mean, even last year with a velo down on the fastball, he still got a 15% whiff rate. It's at 6.4% right now. I wholly expect that to move back up. And then last year, the slider and curveball were both over 40%. This year, slider's at 26.2% and the curve is at 22.9%. The cutter's been one of his better pitches, actually, despite having a 270 batting average against it as a near 30% whiff rate. But I do believe that if he gets the secondaries back going, then he's going to be more than fine. And, you know, I can live with a 25% strikeout rate guy if he's going to give me a low threes type ERA.
Yeah, I almost went him last pick, and I was looking at, like, when do you think that the bottom just falls out eventually? Because xERA is 484 right now. Exit velo, 93.1 miles an hour. That's a really, really high. Hard hit rate, 48.5%. I do agree that, you know, obviously, the Savant page never looked good for him, or at least not outside of that one really good year in 2020. But, and I do think the K rate will tick back up again, but I don't know. I don't know how to value Shane Bieber. Like, part of me is like, all right, just go with this. He's had an ERA under 3.3 each of the last 5 years. But I don't know, man. He's so hard for me to rank right now.
Yeah, I agree. It's really strange with what to actually do with him.
I know. Like, does the bottom fall out, or is he one of those guys that always kind of outperforms the metrics, outperforms the, you know, the expected metrics as well? I don't know. He's definitely in this range for me, but I was debating him with that last pick when I went with Gaussman, but he's a hard one. I will go. I mean, do I want to go back to the 32-year-old Will again? I might as well. I'll go Zach Wheeler here, a guy that has almost, I think he's going to be 33 very soon. And this year has been a bit of an up and down year for Zach Wheeler. Overall, ERA is up to 4.26, but still has a K rate right around 28%. You know, still a K minus walk rate above 20%. xERA is 3.57, only a 2.9% barrel rate, one of the lower exit velos allowed. And he's never been a guy that gives up a lot of hard contact, like, ever. Like, you know, exit velocity has been in the top 10% of baseball EV allowed, I should say, each of the last 4 years, below 86 miles an hour each year. Now, he's another guy out of the sweeper this year, using it about 14% of the time, 39% whiff rate, 167 batting average against. Pretty damn good there. You know, still goes overall with the five pitches, you know, four seam, sinker, slider, sweeper, and curveball, and has a whiff rate above 30% on three of those, four seamer, slider, and sweeper. So I'm not too worried about the ERA being above four right now. I think, again, that'll come down. He's been below three each of the last 3 years, and I don't have any, you know, I don't have any reason to believe that wasn't completely, you know, like, that's who he is. Like, I think he's a right around the 3 ERA guy, right around the 26, 27, 28% K rate guy. And still only, I think he's got another handful of really good years left in him. So I think he's a definitely a fine SP2. I wouldn't want him as my ace, but if I can get him as a SP2 in a win now scenario, I would be very happy with Wheeler right there.
I agree. I think that there's still plenty of years left of him being a really solid arm, and that makes him worth a pick here. So a lot of these guys have fallen a bit, and that's just going to be me changing my rankings up, which is fun. But I am going to go with Max Fried. I feel like this is the point where you kind of just have to bite the bullet and do it. And maybe that's the wrong move.
I was going to debate him next. If you didn't take him here, I was seriously debating taking him next.
Yeah, I mean, there were no signs. Everybody's like, oh, there were signs. There were no signs of Fried being hurt. Yeah. His velo was actually up more than ever at the last pitch of his last game. And, yeah, I understand. Like, his last start against the Orioles wasn't pretty, but he was vintage Max Fried until the seventh, and he allowed a couple home runs. But there were zero indications because his velo was still up at the end of that start. So I don't know. Like, I'm not particularly worried about it. The last fastball he threw on Friday, last Friday, was 94.4. And that's, you know, pretty high for him. He averages 93.7. So, like, that's good to be that deep in the game and do that. You look, and Fried just been really good this year. The ERA is not going to tell you that, despite being at 2.08, even considering he had a clunker of a game against the Orioles when he allowed seven runs in six innings. He started the seventh and didn't complete it. That shows you how elite he was prior to that. And everything just looks the part. He's always induced weak contact. He's getting plenty of whiffs. There's plenty to like here in Fried's profile. The news is that there's no structural damage. He'll be fine. The Braves aren't concerned that he'd need his second Tommy John surgery. He'll be shut down until his forearm heals. He'll have to build back up, go through spring training again. Who knows when he's back? But in a dynasty context, if he doesn't need TJ, then I'm okay with drafting Max Fried here.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I was pretty much going to say pretty similar things there. We're near the hour mark now, Chris. We want to just like rapid fire off 10 more.
Yeah,
like,
let's do it.
Quick, like 10 second analysis. All right. So I'll go Grayson Rodriguez here. I think this is where he comes into rankings. Yeah, he's been a little bit inconsistent. ERA is, you know, over 5 right now, but still has a key minus walk rate above 20% right now. Stuff is really good. I think we talked about him recently where I think he's still coming back and getting back to full strength from the time missed last year. So I still value him as an SP2 right now. And if I waited and was a kind of like in a win later mode and one ticket as my ace, I'd be fine with that. So G-Rod 21.
Good pick. I'm going to go with Hunter Brown at 22. I really do believe that he's going to emerge into being a very, very solid starting pitcher. Last start wasn't good against the Angels. His first start of the year wasn't good against the Tigers, but between there, he's been pretty good. There's strikeouts, there's plenty of whiffs, and he has a 3.23 ERA right now in 39 innings.
Yeah, he's been quietly really good down there for Houston, so... Oh, fine. I'll take DeGrom here. I mean, again, he's not one I'm ever going to target. Like, I would not have him in any league right now, but I think his value is still in this range. Assuming he doesn't need some, you know, Tommy John or something, some huge surgery here, I think he still should be valued as a top 25 arms, even though he's pushing 35 now. But we've seen, like, when he's on the mound, this is the best pitcher in baseball. You know, he's up there above McClanahan, Burns, Strider, Cole, all of them. So, you know, obviously the biggest amount of risk we've talked about so far, but still, I think he's still top 25 or so.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when he's on the mound, he's the best pitcher in baseball. So can't really argue that at all. I am going with Hunter Green here. You know, it's been a mixed bag of results. Still believe in Hunter Green's arsenal. He's just 23 years old. Overall, it's been not too bad. He has a 3.74 ERA. He has 47 Ks in 33 and two-thirds innings. The whip's a little high. He's had a bad start here and there, but overall, it's been pretty good. His slider's elite. The fastball's averaging 99 miles an hour. He's really good.
Next one I'm going to go with is a guy that he's here now, but if he doesn't start striking out more guys, he's not going to be here for much longer. I have Dustin May in this range. Only has an 18.4% K rate right now, but also a 2.68 ERA and 0.94 WHIP. So like, he's a guy where if he starts, that K rate starts ticking up again, like he's shown it in brief glimpses. That was hard for me to say, apparently, in the past. Like, we know the stuff is there. It's just, I don't know, the bat missing is just has not been there this year, but he has five pitches, all with a batting average against of 200 or less. It's just all about location, you know, sequencing better, you know, all kind of the stuff that goes into pitching that, you know, you can't really quantify in terms of any metric or anything like that. So hopefully he can start missing more bats. If he doesn't, I'll probably start slipping down my rankings a little bit, but I still think he's a borderline ace if that K-Rate could even just get to like 24-25%.
Yeah, good pick there. I'm going with Freddy Peralta, who has bounced back in a pretty strong way this year. I think Peralta is kind of the arm that we saw him be when he broke out several years ago. He has a 3.32 ERA right now, over 40 innings, 46 Ks. The arsenal looks really good. The velo's back up. Like, he was down last year significantly, but he's actually up to his highest velo ever. His fastball's averaging 94.5. The highest before was 93.5. So encouraging stuff there. The arsenal is really good with that fastball, slider, and curve. And even a change is pretty solid too. So I think Freddy Peralta is a really good arm.
Yeah, he's definitely in this range for me as well. I'll go, that's tough, a couple guys that are intriguing, but I just can't bring myself to take. But the next one in my rankings is Joe Musgrove. And yeah, obviously this year he's not looked great at all, but it's been three starts coming back from injury. And I think his last start was his best start of the season so far. Five shutout innings, five strikeouts against the Dodgers. And you know, coming into this year, this was a guy that had a ERA below 3.2 each of the last 2 years. You know, usually above average K rate. It did dip. It's actually dipped the last couple of years from his 33% mark in 2020. But you know, if he's a low to mid three ERA guy with a 26-27% K rate, you know, still only 30 years old, I think that's still a pretty decent SP2 or a high end SP3.
Yeah, I like Musgrove a good bit. Going Logan Gilbert. I think Gilbert's under the radar a bit. He only has a 3.79 ERA, but the peripherals are pretty good. His XERA and FIP are both below three. His XERA is at 2.68. He has a sub-1 whip right now, and his strikeout total is flown through the roof. He has 50 Ks in 40 innings, and that was kind of always been the knock on him. His arsenal has kind of evolved a bit. Similar pitchers based on velo and movement. Gallen, Woodruff, Verlander, Boz. Like, those are pretty good signs there. His movement profiles change with all of his pitches. His curveball, his slider, they're up significantly in movement, which is awesome to see. His splitter that he added is freaking nasty. I think Logan Gilbert's being undervalued in Dynasty. You can get him pretty cheap.
Yeah, no, definitely he's looked pretty damn good this year, for sure. I guess I have to update my, you know, change my rankings a little bit, because next time my rankings is Rodon. I don't know. I can't take Rodon here. And then I had Nestor Cortes, who actually has been performing worse than I thought this year. I still think he's in this range. Then I got like Glasnow, Lizardo, but this is a guy that I need to adjust up another, you know, 10, 15 spots my overall. I'm going Joe Ryan here for my last pick. And I'll fully admit, I was 100% wrong about Joe Ryan. Like, I was coming into the year, I didn't dislike Ryan. I just didn't see the upside for more. Chris, you saw her. I'll give you props there. You were definitely on the other side of this with Joe Ryan. He's dropped the walk rate down to 3.6%, K rate up to 27.8, ERA 2.46, XERA right there at 2.42. He's still not a guy that has like that one pitch with like a super high whiff rate, but all four of his, you know, pitches are right in the, you know, 24-28% whiff rate range. Fastball is really good. You know, splitter that he had this year has been really good as well. 167 batting average against, 185 slug, 24% whiff rate, sweeper slider as well. So again, a lot of good pitching going on there in Minnesota right now. And Joe Ryan, 26 years old. Again, I don't think there's like upside to get up to like top 15, but if he can just settle in as like a top 25-ish arm, being, you know, solid back in SP2, high in SP3, depending on how many teams are in your league, I think this is a pretty good range for him.
Yeah, for sure. Does that wrap it up, or you want me to do one more?
Do one more. We can't stop at 29, Chris. We
okay, I wasn't keeping track. I lost track when we started rapid firing where we were at. So, all right, here we go. 30th pick, Shane Boz. I do think that Boz will be back. I think Boz will be vintage Shane Boz, who is a really good arm. And I do think there's SP1 upside. And to be able to get an SP1 at 30th overall pitcher, like, I like that a lot personally. So yeah, I'll take it all day long.
Absolutely. I believe very much in what we saw from him in the upper minors in 2021. Stuff is there. Command control have gotten a lot better. Yeah, definitely agree with that. I love Shane Boz. Always have. So cool. That's 30 picks here, a little over an hour. That was really fun. Like, I think Chris and I both think the same thing when we do episodes like this, where it's like we have our rankings and then we do something like this, and then it makes us think a little bit that we got to like tinker and move this guy up or this guy down. So this was really fun because rankings have already changed a decent amount. It's a lot of injuries and, you know, guys that are falling off, breaking out. So, you know, that's why I always love like the May rankings, right? Because that's like you got enough data to like, all right, this looks like it's for real or not. So I always love this time of year, but that will wrap us up for this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out my Patreon, Chris's Substack, for more work from each of us, and join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.